I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Youper.
In front there for L'Esperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot on the floor! Oh, Gillies with the goal!
I love UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! Scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Held in. The penalty is over. Here's Leibinger. Shoot! Score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much. And yes, it is the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. We talk Michigan Tech hockey for the next 60 minutes, and we are happy to do so. Michigan Tech coming off a weekend split in the home-and-home series against their arch rival Northern Michigan University. And we'll recap that, plus look forward to the big, the long trip headed up to Alaska to take on the Seawolves this week. And then, of course, the Nanooks the following week up in Fairbanks. Good morning, Coach. Welcome back to the studio here today.
Good morning, Dirk.
Well, ready to talk some hockey. It was a great game on Friday night. Certainly one of the, I thought, one of the best 60 minutes we put together all season. Everybody really kind of digging in the corners and winning those battles. And I know it was quite different on Saturday night, where the Wildcats were a lot tougher against us down in their own building. But really kind of a hot and cold kind of feel to the whole weekend.
It was. I thought the Saturday night events or Friday night events were absolutely tremendous. I think the staffing did a great job. Gary Kruzich did a great job, and everybody that was involved, Cal Larson, and everybody that was involved did an incredible job with that, with the Military Appreciation Night in conjunction with Wounded Veterans. And it was a great night to be part of. We got to meet a lot of tremendous people. The support was outstanding from the community. The energy in the building, the vibe was great all the way through. And it was an honor to be part of that. It was great that our players responded and had such a good hockey game on that night.
Looked good right from the start. It seemed like, we keep talking about, winning battles, and, Friday night we seemed to win just about every battle we were in.
Yeah, it was just a great effort all the way around. I think that Northern came in maybe expecting a little bit, different vibe, a little bit different, compete level, and we got them on their heels, and we had a lot of jump. Everybody was involved in the game. All lines were productive. It was the most depth by far we felt within the lineup as in this entire year. We felt it coming from everybody, from each line, and all our D pairings. Our transition was quick. And although our power play didn't score, our zone entries were good. It was our best performance in that regards on the year, and we had some tremendous scoring opportunities on the power play, some back doors where goalie got across, or we missed a couple of nets and things like that. So it, all in all, every aspect of our game was good. Our penalty kill was great. Mike Neville took some extra time this week on really drilling down some guys and putting some video together to help some guys individually. We shortened that up with some of the personnel and kind of like we did last year with Mike and with Reed Sturros, and that paid off big dividends. They got one deflection on a shot that was going wide in front. A good goal, good play, good goal. It's good when you're marking scoring chances, and you know you're usually marking the type of scoring chance, and then who is responsible for it on our team, whether it be for or against. And on several of the on the few penalty killing scoring chances against this weekend, there was no fault on a few of them. So that's good. That just means that the power play executed well and got a scoring chance out of it. And that's the way you want. You don't want breakdowns causing those things to occur.
How has Mike Neville, having him helping you out, coach, as a grad assistant right now, in a situation like this where the penalty kill, you're trying to get it up to a certain level, does it make a difference the fact that he was playing with these guys and he can say, look, this is what I did. This is, I mean, you know, you guys are, you, the rest of your staff are, as coaches are removed from the game a little bit from the playing days where he was right there last year.
Yeah.
It's gotta make a difference.
Yeah. And the good thing about it is, you know, Mike and I talk about this often. Last year, you know, I do my prep work and for the penalty kill and decide, you know, get my thoughts together on how we wanted to do it. And then I'd call Mike and Reed in and then okay, here's what I'm thinking. This is what, cause they're the guys living it. Can we pull this off? And, yay or nay. And then we if we wanted to make any adjustments, maybe try this. And when we do that, we'd implement it. They had ownership in it. They'd buy into it and away we went. So, Mike and I are on the exact same page on how we want to go about it. So, and what we really wanted to focus on is getting to the point where we were last year, where we just, you know, right, you're trying personnel, you're trying different things, you're trying different combinations, you feel you're getting close, and then it goes away from you. Much like a lot has gone with our team so far this year. But what we really want to do is narrow it down and we needed some time, to be honest with you, for some of our young players on the blue line to gain some experience so that we weren't absolutely demoralizing them and setting them up for failure. And they're at the point now where I think we expanded their roles a little bit as well. Some of our young defensemen, so, cause they really are better defenders. So, I think that helped a lot, but Mike's invaluable in what he does there. Second half of the year, he's going to go try to play somewhere. But the entire staff, our staff is, everybody has their component. Everybody has their grease that gets into our bearings and makes us go. They all do it from Shells to Mikey to, you know, we all have our pieces that we put together. And I was talking to a couple of players this morning I don't think our message is what's going on with our consistency. I think it's our attention and focus to, and you see it every day, Dirk. I mean, and I've been saying it from the start in a polite way. It's getting guys to take any barriers off, remove excuses, and just perform. And what leads to a good performance and what doesn't lead to good performance, and eliminating that which does not and enhancing that which does. And we make strides. We were so good Friday in every component of our game. Forecheck, transition, D-zone cover was by far the best consistently that we've had. We didn't give up very much at all, in our zone. And not only that, but we didn't give up a lot of zone time. Like we were getting the puck, we were transitioning it, we were coming up in numbers, we were attacking in numbers, we were getting rebounds in hard ice areas, we were getting second chances and third chances. Everything that we've been working on, you're seeing fruition with it. And we just got to make sure that that is sinking in. And it's not always going to come easy. You know, anything worth having doesn't come easy. And right now, I think we just want it a little bit too easy.
We've got great captains on this team, Coach, great assistant captains. But is there a gap at all between the captains and what they're able to get across to the team? Or I know, like Brent, he's a quiet leader out there. Is there anybody in the locker room other than the coaches who are, you know, laying into these guys at all in between periods or during practices or anything like that?
Well, let's be realistic on really what's, you know, on the crux of it. If you remember a year ago, we struggled badly. I think we won one in our first eight or seven.
Correct.
1-6-1 or 1-7-1 or something like that. And we really questioned our compete level. So what we did a year ago is we moved Chris Leibinger to forward, took him out of his position. We had Mitch Ranke who could step in there and play. And Chris is a highly competitive individual. I mean, he's not going to let you win in Monopoly. He's not going to let you. If you're cutting the cards, he's going to cheat to beat you. You know, he's highly competitive. And then we really started riding. When times got tough, we really started riding Neville and Sturrows. We just rewrote them and we'd put different guys with them. We'd double shift them. We'd do it, just to make sure we had that compete level on the ice when we needed it. And those guys were well conditioned, highly dedicated and tremendously competitive, as far as how they played the game. And they had by far career years, near 25 points each coming out of nowhere, you know, with half of that or less the years before. But we rode them. We rode that compete level because you needed it. Because we went into Bemidji and in a big series and didn't show up. You know, we didn't show up in the game. We're close, just like we are right now with a lot of games. We're close, but we just didn't grind it with them. We just didn't get in those hard areas, and it just got really frustrating. this year we're looking, so captains, non-captains, anybody, we're looking for that anchor that we can go to. And then also last year you got Matt Roy, who put fear in people. You know, he put fear in people. That's why he signed early. He's a defending defenseman that can move the puck. And then you had a highly competitive Shane Hanna. You had Cliff Watson, who was highly competitive. So, we had enough that we could go out there and throw guys, five guys out there and double shift some guys and get the level that we needed. And we improved on that as the year went on. And then when it come playoff time, we had a little bit more going for us. We're looking right now for those guys that, you know, I'll tell you right now what's going on. The disheartening thing about everything is that we're letting our players know how the game's going to be. We against Bowling Green, this isn't going to be fun, fellas. It's not going to be a fun game. Well, we came out and laid an egg on Friday to the point where we looked unenthused at times about wanting to get in the perimeter. And even against Huntsville the second night, we talked about the power play being so perimeter and just, you know, they're giving us the outside areas but we need to get into the hard areas. You know what I mean? We need that in our lineup. And the decision we have to make as coaches is, are we going to back off a little bit on our skill, our opportunity to make a play a little bit, and maybe even take some of our guys that are sitting out as defensemen and move them to forward or replace some guys on the defense, you know, just to get more compete in the lineup so we can find a little bit of the element that we had before. We have enough talent within our lineup to be a good hockey team, a consistently good hockey team. We're missing, and everybody can see it that knows anything about the game, is that consistent effort. And that's what people are saying. Where's the effort? And really the work ethic's there, but the compete's not there. You know, and Saturday night it manifested because, you know, the goals they got were back off goals where we didn't gap and get up into a guy, or they walked out of the corner with the puck and made a play or those type of things, where on Friday night we did that. And on Saturday night, when we knew that there was going to be a challenge, you know, they took a couple of defensemen out of the lineup and inserted Vermeulen and Franti, a couple of big physical guys, and we didn't match it. And the conversation on the day was positive going in the fact that, fellas, if we don't, what we need to make sure in tonight's game is that our competition shows up. Because without competition, the skill level will never be part of this game. Without competition, so the first period Saturday night is going to be the biggest period of this weekend. We came out and got outshot 14-4 and took a couple penalties, and so we didn't match that competition level. And that's the disheartening part, the angering part, the frustrating part, is just that ability, and that's the challenge that we have.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll recap Friday night and Saturday night's games. And when we come back here on Mix 93 in the Joe Shine Hour, if you want to get a question in for Coach Sean, email it to me, dj@themix93.com. That is, of course, if you are listening on Monday morning. Back after this.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have a $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlak, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment, 482-3621 Hancock, 337-5049 Lorium.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus. And University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
You can always count on the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Just like you can always count on Always Game Gary. Yay! No bar is too far. No wing sauce is too hot. Not for Gary. Gary is the man. He's nothing like Keith. Keith never wants to do anything. Why are we even talking about Keith? Always Game Gary is famous among friends. He deserves a Bud Light. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. AB St. Louis, Missouri.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
In these turbulent political and economic times, are you having trouble mapping out your financial future? Let Gary Jorgensen, a financial advisor with the America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, assist you in the development of a financial strategy to help you achieve your financial goals. The America Group is located south of Houghton on M26, 1 mile past the mall in the Lake Accounting Building. Call 482-2370 for an appointment. Securities and advisory services are offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93. We're going to take a look at Friday night's game. It was Military Appreciation Weekend for Michigan Tech, and what a great crowd. What a great crowd. All of the vets there, the current military personnel that were there. It was just a great, great atmosphere. And I know there were some people who had never been to a Michigan Tech hockey game before that were at that game, and they were absolutely blown away by the production, the team, the win, and everything else that was involved with the night. It was just a great night.
It was a great night, and I can't wait to get the numbers on the auction to find out how the jerseys went with the promotions going to the various groups that they're going to. And again, I the staffing did a tremendous job in that. The flag out there at the beginning of the game was great. I mean, the color guard was tremendous. All the individuals in uniform. You know, you just can't thank those people enough in so many ways. And it was, you know, Gary, I'm sure there were a lot of people involved in this, but Gary introduced it to me, I know, back early when I was first getting involved in it, that how big this can be and how huge. And I didn't realize the level that he was going to, and that his group were going to bring it to, but it was absolutely great. I know that our athletic director, Suzanne Senregret, she said she had a lump in her throat from the start to the end just because of the emotion that the event brought. It was a tremendous evening.
Great work by the Huskies on their first goal. Ray Bryce gets his second as a Michigan Tech Husky. Let's hear the goal, and puts Michigan Tech up 1-0 at the 11:34 mark.
And that'll do it. The Wildcats dodge a couple of bullets. Huskies bring it up, though, on the stretch pass. This one a lot. Intercepted by McConey. His clearing attempt doesn't get out. And the Wildcats... Oh, get it center! Hit the post! And Brett scores! Oh, this cue by the Wildcats! And the Huskies put it in. 1-0 with 8:26 left to go in the first.
Just a great play by Grayson Reitmeier to get a stick on that. Didn't seem like much. Obviously a mistake by the defenseman who was carrying the puck right in front of his own post there. But and then Ray Bryce, seeing that the goaltender didn't know where it was, and jammed it home.
Yeah, and I think that Reitmeier got the goal. I actually do. I think because they both. But the important thing on that is that it was off the forecheck, and two guys were right there, right in that hard ice area. Two guys were in there whacking at it to the point where you don't know for sure who got the goal. Mm-hmm. Just in there whacking, taking on their opposition in that area where you're going to get bloodied up if you spend too much time in there.
We were joking with Grayson after the game and before Saturday night's game, is asking him if that goal was under protest as far as whether or not he should get credit for it. But he does get an assist on it, and Ray Bryce gets his second goal. 11:34, that was right after a power play, too, in which we had some pretty darn good chances on it. So it was nice to see that next shift, those guys coming out there and working hard and keeping the pressure on.
Yeah, and again, it was off the forecheck. We Grayson hounded him. He extended his stick out and forced that loose puck, and Ray was right there, and they were both whacking at it. Once it startled everybody and it got free, they were whacking at it, and it ended up in their net.
Huskies go up 2-0 at the 16:46 mark. Even strength goal with an extra attacker out there. Brent Baltus gets his first of the season.
Delayed call. Munson doesn't know it yet. He's still in the net. Huskies will get an opportunity with a shot. This one wide of the net. Munson now realized that after the bench was yelling at him, Huskies get the extra attacker out there. Here's a shot by Ford. Rebound! Scores! There it is! Baltus with the goal! And the Huskies take a 2-0 lead, and they'll get a power play.
You know, it was interesting because Munson did not know. He was just, I think was that right after he had just gotten kind of knocked down?
It was, yeah.
And he got back up and wasn't even thinking about a delayed penalty. And we were like, man, when is he going to go? And I could hear the bench pounding on the boards to get him over there.
Yeah, yeah. And we got that extra tacker out there. But again, first of all, Brent Baltus, our best player, bar none on the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, tremendous both nights. Saturday night, he was fabulous as well with some very good scoring opportunities. He was great. But again, look where that goal came from. He won a battle in front. The puck came to him. He got separation on his coverage in front of the net in that greasy area and, put on a stick. And, you know, that's a Blake Piatla type of goal. That's a goal where someone doesn't want to stand next to somebody and you get free and you put it in the net. And Brent made no mistake on it. He made a great shot. It was a great goal. There's nothing fluky about that. And then we had the pressure on them consistently during that delayed penalty to get that extra tacker out there and get him involved.
And we get a power play. Didn't score on it, but it looked good on the power play, too, right after that. It would have been nice to get another one. But the Huskies get the goal. Keegan Ford and Alex Smith get the assist on Brent Baltus's first of the season. We go to the first period shots, 10-4 in favor of Michigan Tech with the help of some power play at time there, too. We go to the second period. The Huskies at the 7-1 mark get an even strength goal from Gavin Gould to make it 3-0.
Huskies work it up. Here's a breakaway for Gould. Makes it in. Shoots and a save. Israelson with a great read on that play. And the goaltender make a great stop on Gavin Gould, who was being chased from behind closely. Here's a chance for Gould again. He'll shoot. Scores! Oh, Gavin Gould didn't miss that time. Huskies lead it 3-0.
Great job in the corner there by, I think, Jake Lucchini, who had the puck, kind of lost it, but he lost it in a good spot there where Gould picked it up.
Yeah, and the thing about that is we attacked down the middle. It was a great transitional play where I believe it was Joel Esperance sent Gould in the clear. I think it was Joel. And Gavin got in there and had that partial breakaway to start with. And then got another shot walking, identical except for some guys below him this time, but walking right down the same spot again. And this time he saw the part of the net that he wanted to shoot at. But, listening to your call there, the thing that I want people to realize is that from the time that first breakaway took to the time that the puck went back on Gavin's stick is, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 seconds. Mm-hmm. That was a second chance opportunity. That's grinding it out and getting a puck that never left hard ice. It was in between the circles and behind the net there, and we won a battle there and then got it back out to Gavin again. So spending time in that hard ice area, that's the message that goes to our hockey team.
Yeah, the Huskies up 3-0 at that point. That was Gavin Gould's sixth of the season. Jake Lucchini gets the only assist on that goal. The Huskies weren't done scoring yet in that second period. Brent Baltus gets his second of the game.
Huskies with good puck control here lately as they dump it back inside of the zone. Now Jackson gets there, gets control of the puck for a moment, loses it, tries to get it back. Back to the point. Here's a shot by Burks, and that one was coming in a little bit of a flutter. Good, quick shot. Here's another shot. Scores! Tipped in front by Brent Baltus, and the Husky captain has two goals here tonight. 4-0.
Talk about getting to the hard areas. He did it again there, and they kind of lost sight of him, and a great tip right in front of the goaltender.
Yeah, and a great pinch to keep that puck in the zone. Everybody was covering. Jake Jackson covered for our pinching defenseman. The puck came back to him. He threw it quickly. He saw Brent with stick position at the net. He threw it quickly at the net, and Brent made a great tip on it and got the goal in a hard ice area again.
Shots in the second period, 13-9 in favor of the Northern Michigan Wildcats. As Northern started to get some power plays in that second period, they were in the second period, do I have that right here? Yeah, 1-for-3 as they score on the power play.
Power play continues now for the Wildcats. They win the faceoff, 4-0 Michigan Tech. Here's a one-timer scored. Klimek from the point. It was redirected in front, and the Wildcats are on the board with a power play goal. 5:11 left to go in the second period.
Joseph Narni gets his first career goal, first of the week, and he had two this weekend. Klimek with that hard shot from the point. He just got a rocket back there, and he had a couple of other good shots that I thought Packy Munson made some pretty good saves on.
Yeah, Jordan's a great kid. Great kid, good family. He's a great kid. That was a good play. It was on a 2-3 formation where they got a quick pop out. It was a timing play. The thing that we got caught a little bit below on that coverage instead of moving up with them and trying to stay above that coverage. And we didn't get a block, going to the net. But again, I believe the shot was going wide. So you're looking at it, you're saying get a block on that. But if it's going wide of the net, if it's not right at the net, you know, it's hard to get a block on it. And it was just a good timing play that they were able to establish.
So they get one. I thought what was key to this game, Coach, is that we did not they had another power, at least one more power play opportunity in that second period. We didn't give them another goal to really give them an opportunity in that third period.
We didn't even give them a shot
right.
on the next power play. We did a great job on the kill. And again, I give the group that we condensed down, and I give Mike Neville a tremendous amount of kudos for that, for the effort that we did on that. And then we came out and had a great third period. No scoring in the third period, but we had a tremendous third period where we took what they, you know, Northern was taking some chances. They were behind. We took what they gave us, and we were able to get a lot of opportunities.
Well, they gave up four shots in that third period, which is so great.
It was one of our better periods of the year, and the good thing is it came with the lead, where if you remember, you know, back against other teams, and that's what we talked about in between periods. We're playing against Union, it's 4-1, and then all of a sudden it's 4-3, and then we have to get strong in. So that was happening a bit to us before, against Duluth, where you get a little bit of a lead, and then we let them back in with something. We didn't let them back in on that game. So you're feeling pretty good about yourself. You're feeling, okay, we're figuring this out. We're turning into a hockey team here. That's how we felt going after the game on Friday night.
Faceoffs were dead even. 30 wins for the Huskies, 30 wins for the Wildcats on draws in that game. The Wildcats' only goal coming on that power play, as you mentioned. Michigan Tech looked good on the power play, just not scoring yet. 0-6 with 11 power play shots on goal. And how many good scoring opportunities did you track on the power play, Coach? Do you remember what the number was?
Well, about a half a dozen or eight. We had two back doors. Each unit had a back door opportunity. And one Baltz, everybody had their stick in the air when Baltz had a backdoor opportunity in a third period on the power play, and he just didn't get the puck up over Israelson's pads. Israelson made a great save both ways, in the third period there while we were on the power play so our chances were good. Our zone entry was good. Our zone time was good. We were getting shots on the net. We weren't perimeter. We were not playing with the puck as much. We were getting it. And the key is we were getting second chance opportunities. So we were retrieving rebounds and keeping possession and going after them again. So everything we felt coming out of that game was, we were refocused, re-energized, everything. Okay, guys, now we have to back it up on Saturday night with the same type of effort. Then we'll be able to put together some wins.
Pekka Munson ends up with 20 saves on 21 shots. Israelson with 28 saves on 32 shots. And the Huskies get the victory on Friday night in front of 4,058, a jam-packed John McInnes Student Ice Arena. So we go to Saturday night's game, Coach. Much different story, as we already have spoken about. And did you get any vibes at all from the guys before the game in the locker room that things are not right or are right, or is it wait and see what happens on the ice?
No, I didn't. I was excited to see how we followed it up. Again, my address to the team, we showed some good clips. Everything was positive in coming out of Friday night. Everything was from our formations to everything we did was positive, coming out of the game. The biggest thing that we addressed was that, a team is going to push back. You know, the biggest period of a weekend when you're trying to get a sweep is the fourth period. We used to say that Lake State when we were winning championships, the biggest period is the fourth period. You have to come out and match any pushback that you get from the opposition and break their will. And so that was the address that you expect a competitive effort, expect a grind, expect things to be more difficult tonight. Let's get through it and let's manage it, especially in that fourth period, in the first period, Saturday night. Let's manage it and let's make sure we give ourselves a chance in the hockey game. And it didn't go that way. We're already without Stamen, who played so well Friday night. And then Smitty took a 5-minute major in the first period. So now we're down. Ray Bryce is playing center. We got Stamen out. We got Smitty out. And we got Grayson Reitmeier, freshman, who we're trying to monitor his time for development purposes to because of strength and everything that goes involved in that. So, we're behind the eight ball already. And then, at the center position, it set us behind. And then two penalty killing opportunities in there, along with the 5-minute major, just set us behind.
Northern Michigan wins 4-0 on Saturday night. We'll take a look at a couple of the goals here. The first one, Joseph Nardi somehow got lost right in front of our goaltender, made just a slight redirection in front of Pekka Munson.
Down in the corner, under 4 left to go in the period. Some good scrums in the corner here tonight so far. Here's a chance right in front of him, score. Joseph Nardi, his second career goal, second of the weekend. Just a light deflection as the Huskies lost track of him in front of Packy Munson. He was all alone.
Can you give us a better idea on what happened on that one, Coach, and how we kind of lost him, and how what happened on that play?
I can give you a real good idea. That was typical of the night. We had a battle in the corner. We lost the battle. We had three men in there. We had plenty of troops in that battle to win that war, and we lost the battle. They got it to the point, and we got beat off the boards to the net. The pointman put it at the net. It was a bad angle tip, a goal that I'm sure Packy would like to have had back. It must have got down underneath him between his pads. His stick must not have been there, but it came with poor positioning on the battle, poor compete on the battle, poor execution on the battle to lose that. And then getting beat off the boards and into that hard ice area and watching what went on from there. So, and no one really even paid attention to the guy going to the net. So, that kind of was probably a pretty good indication as to where our minds were. Even when we were in that confrontation in the corner, you know, we had two guys pinned against the boards with their backs to the boards while they were in better position to come out with it. Something we work hard on, being in control in those contested areas, and it was poor focus on our part.
Let's take a look at another goal in the first period at the 17:37 mark. Robbie Payne gets his first of two in this game.
Inside the Michigan Tech zone, Vermeulen holds up. Here's a chance in front of Munson. A big kick save. Rebound is there. They score. Robbie Payne with the rebound goal after Munson made a great save. Wildcats.
There's a lot of people in front of the net on that goal.
Yeah, we had four of them there, and they had one. So that tells you where you're at. And Robbie's on his knees. I'm sure some people saw the highlight film last week where he did the same thing against Mankato, on his knees facing the other direction.
He's on his backside, actually.
On his backside, just like last week. The goal, if someone wants to see a neat play, see the goal against Mankato last week, and the same thing. He's on his knees facing up ice with his back to the goalie and whacks at the puck from his knees, and this time he whacked it into the top corner of the net with four guys all around him, and he was able to make a play from his knees, and we didn't handle him.
Here's the power play goal by Robbie Payne to make it 3-0 in the second.
Loggins up to center ice. Troy drops it. Here's Robbie Payne looking to shoot. Does. Scores. Robbie Payne with the goal. He waited and waited until there was enough of a screen in front of Packy Munson. 3-0 Wildcats on the power play.
And this is one of those plays on the power play where, you know, he probably didn't want to shoot, but he elected that he felt that he had the proper screen in front there.
Well, what he did is he just waited it out as long as he possibly could, and just decided, if they aren't going to take me, I'm going to shoot it. It was a power play goal, but it was on a 2-on-2 line rush that came the other way. There was a nothing play. Our gaps were bad. We backed in on it and allowed him to walk in the zone, a little cross pattern at the blue line. They walked in the zone and kind of cut across and just waited and waited and waited. And that was 8.5 minutes into the period. It was the first shot we gave up on the period. So I'm not saying that we were generating a lot, but we had a couple chances at that time, and it was 2-0, and, you know, we could have got back in the game. But we still, you know, we still allowed a guy to play around in that tough ice area, and it was again a poor gap. We gave him to half of the zone. We were at the top of the circle when they were entering the zone, and by that time you give a score, you know, a goal a game guy basically in Robbie Payne right now. You give him a chance to walk inside the top of the circles, and he's gonna, you know, he's just chomping at the bit to find a spot in the net to shoot at.
So then that was not long after we had the 5-on-3 advantage. That he scored that goal, if I remember right.
I don't recall the timing of it. I don't recall.
But that goal coming at the 8:30 mark of the second period on the power play. Starzynski scored then in the third period. Final score 4-0. You pulled Munson after that third goal to try to spark the team a little bit.
Coach? Yeah, it was just, you know, he hadn't been getting a lot of work. He hadn't settled into the game, really. I didn't think from the start of the game. He hadn't settled in tremendously. Devin, I wanted to get a chance to get Devin back in the game. Opportunity presented itself, and because I thought he played well a week ago, and we want competition at every position, including goal, and I thought Devin went in and did a really good job. You know, the only goal they got was on that play where they drove us wide and got in there and kind of put Devin and everything in the net. It was a good hard goal by Northern on that goal in the third period.
0-for-5 on the power play in that game, Coach. You know, it seemed like a different 0-for than obviously Friday night. Friday night felt a lot better about the power play, didn't you?
A lot better. Our zone, we weren't in the zone. I think we were 50% on zone entry, on Saturday night, which is half the time getting in the zone with the man advantage, which, you need to be better. I mean, you want to be, you know, 90% on zone entry on, with having the guys with their minds fresh and clear on getting it in. And, you do it one night, you don't do it the next, and it's the same personnel and nothing has changed. And, the opposition isn't doing anything differently. The ice is bigger. So it's a mindset. It's a mindset. And what we really need is, we really need some personnel to take up and crawl in that, you know, that Neville and Sturros jersey and take it upon themselves to make things happen.
Northern Michigan with 28 shots in that game, 19 for Michigan Tech, 4-0 final. All right, well, we'll look forward to the questions that are coming in, and we'll also look forward to the series coming up this weekend against Anchorage. Always a tough building to play in up at Sullivan Arena after a long trip like that, and we'll talk more about that as the Joe Schott Hour continues.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her in all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140, or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
Now, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
What? Turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Avast, 12 years been sailing through the portage to Joy Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton. Arr, a jambalaya bite warms me innards all through a cold Lake Superior winter night. With all you can eat, 3 times per week, weigh anchor for a fast lunch bite or dinner with a brewski served up just right at Joy Seafood and Grill.
Stock up on all your favorite snacks and beverages at Morty's Gas Station and Convenience Store in downtown Lake Linden. Check out Morty's Walk-In Cooler for all your favorite adult beverages. Morty's has a great selection of wines to choose from with monthly beer and wine specials store-wide. Don't forget about all your snacks and the latest movie rentals. Morty's is more than just a gas station. Taxes and deposit are not included on sale items. At Morty's, Lake Linden.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Big trip coming up. The Huskies do the two-weeker up in Alaska. They'll play at Anchorage this weekend and then the following weekend. So we will not have a Joe Schott Hour next Monday. Just keep that in mind as everybody will be staying up in Alaska. And are you looking forward to this trip, Coach, as far as being with the team? And I know there's some part of the ship here that we want to write, and maybe this is a good opportunity to do so.
I'm really looking forward to it. Last year, and in that extended time, I think we turned a lot of things around last year at the at that break over the GLI period there. I know that Mel wanted me to spend extra time, and he just handed certain guys over to me, and it helped. Those guys progressed extremely well in the last run that we had there going into the playoffs. So I'm looking forward to having meetings with all the guys that are on the road, one-on-one meetings, and getting feedback and providing feedback, and I think this time is going to give us a good opportunity to address some issues that with video and with things like that we can reinforce what we're talking about. Just that one-on-one time is going to be good.
Yeah, you look at, remember last year, you Mel had an issue where he wasn't able to to be up there. So for one of the weekends, but it was just I always look at that as these weekends as that too, some extra time with the guys to work on things that you don't always have time for.
Yeah, I had the team for 8 or 9 days there,
yeah.
which I enjoyed, and I think the team enjoyed, and we did some things in some different ways, and then we ended up going in and having really one of my, Neves was talking about that last week. It was one of our best weekends of the year, that weekend in Fairbanks. We won two games and we're never really out of control in either of the games. And part of it was exactly because of what I just said, is that, I wrote a competitive lineup. We played the heck out of certain guys and kept control of the game. And then it got those other guys to say, I got to play this way in order to play.
We went up there last year and beat Anchorage on Friday night 3-2 and lost in a shootout on Saturday night, tying 1-1, I think.
I think it was 2-2, I believe is what it was. It could have been 1-1, though. But.
And then, like you said, the Fairbanks weekend was 4-1 and 2-1 with a couple of big wins. Anchorage is struggling right now to get some wins. They tied and lost over the weekend against Huntsville. At Huntsville, though, and we know how good Alabama Huntsville can be. Huntsville winning 5-1, and then they tied 3-3 on Saturday night. But the Seawolves did get the shootout win on Saturday night, and they've played some tough competition. They already battled North Dakota, Colorado College, and some of the games that they've played already. And they're a tough team to beat in that building.
Well, in my time here, now I haven't been at a lot of games against Anchorage because for whatever reason, I'm like when we go up there, I might be gone recruiting or whatever. But they've had their way with us in the last couple of years. They've cost us actually probably some titles, mm-hmm. In the last couple of years we got very few points against them last year. Because I believe they came in here and had success against us as well. Right now, to be absolutely honest, we can't afford to not be at our best. We're still a team trying to find our identity, trying to find consistency. We can be a really good team, or we can be a very soft team to play against that are going to lose in a lot of ways close games, because there's going to be frustration and anxiety and dismantling and, so we're still, our focus is, I say often, I don't, and it's taken the wrong way, I'm sure, by many people, that I say, I don't focus on the wins and losses. I do focus on the wins and losses, but with the players, the only thing that you can control with the players is the daily improvement. I'm judged on the wins and losses. I have to win as a coach hockey games. I know what my responsibilities are for sure. When I make those comments, it's about players. And that my focus is not, I'm not going to sit in the locker room and say we have to win it. So I go last weekend and let's say we say against Northern, this is a must win for us. Well, what if you don't win? You know what I mean? Is the next game a must win? And when does that message get old? You know what I'm saying? The messages get better every day. And if you have the talent and if we're doing things the right way, the other things will take care of themselves. But the focus is on daily improvement. With the ultimate goal of your last day, your last game, your last time on the ice, your last period, your last shift being your best. If that's happening, you're going to improve. That isn't happening here. And again, I say this with a lot of respect, but even last year, I told you how we did last year. We focused on certain guys to give us courage, to get us through it. We focused on those guys and let those guys carry us. In so much that it's probably set us back, on with some other guys because we let them slide through. We took the responsibility off of them for the sake of having success as a team. But if you don't do that, you're not going to have success as a team if you don't play the guys that give you the best chance of winning. So at some point, athletically as players, you have to step up and assume your role, in the leadership chain, and you assume your role, assume your identity, and perform. You have to perform. So what our goal is, and what we'll really focus on this week, is continuing with that one-on-one time, giving guys ways that they, and I think that's what if I have a strength, that would be one of them of, hey, let's just take the personalities out of this and simplify this, and how can you perform? What can you do that'll help you have a better performance and impact the game in a way that we want it impact, and what can you take out of it that takes the negative impact away? Our goal is to get better, individually and then collectively. And if there, if that's not happening, and if it hasn't happened over a period of, you know, if you're a senior and you haven't established, there's something going on. You know what I mean? But we don't have the luxury of accepting that. And I'm not going to sit here and say that the only thing that's going to help our team is graduation. Like I've heard so many coaches say, you know, getting new players in here. We're going to work with what we have diligently until something gives. Freshmen step up or somebody else steps up and takes a spot, or these guys finally grab it and give us a consistent effort.
All right. Well, and Coach, going back to Saturday night's game, looking forward to getting on that big sheet, and I know we didn't take advantage of that, but do you think that it all helped us prepare for these next four games up there in Alaska?
What helped us prepare for these four games in Alaska is learning another lesson of how you have to show up ready to play and have self-accountability. That's what helped us. I don't care if it happens on Portage Lake. I don't care if it happens in the mud puddle. I don't care if it happens in the cold tub. I don't care where it happens. I don't care if you have to turn the Monopoly board over because you're losing. However it happens, enough is enough, and you've got to take accountability for your play and get yourself in order, and then get your unit, your line in order, or your D pairing in order, and everybody has to move ahead. So right now it's a mindset. I don't care where we play. I hoped going in that it'd give us experience, but I didn't find that was the difference in the game. Competition was the difference in the game, I thought, Saturday night, and competition would have, on a big ice, there should have been more room to create things if you're a skilled team. Mm-hmm. And really, Northern Michigan was able to shrink that ice up and lay a beating on us. And that's the part that's hard to swallow.
We'll take a break. Your questions for Coach Sean coming up right after this on the Joe Sean Hour.
The Kaliva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations 7 days a week with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaliva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays 8 till 9.
This is real life, not a made-for-TV movie. When you get stuck in winter, you don't find your soulmate. You find a tow truck or frostbite. So get prepared for winter's worst with the right set of tires. From November 6th to the 26th, you can get a $50 reward card after submission with purchase of four new BF Goodrich passenger or light truck tires.
Keweenaw Automotive on the business strip in Houghton. 482-7988, keweenawautomotive.com.
See bfgoodrichtires.com/promo for details. Offer expires 11/26/17. Void where prohibited.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Check out these deals at Bucko's all month. All 15 and 18 packs of beer are on sale. All 2 liters are $2 for $3. Bucko's has your Keweenaw alpaca gear to keep you warm. Keep all your beverages cold with nice ice prices. 4 bags, $5. Pick up your favorite snacks for the camp, including Jack's Original Pizzas, $3 for $11, and Red Baron Pizzas, $3 for $9.99. Pick up your ORV and DNR licenses and bait with their 4-bag deal of all deals. All sales do not include tax and deposit. Bucko's, where the party starts. 5th Street, Calumet.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance? Are you concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Megan Kangas of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whether you are single, married, have a house full of kids, are retired and aging gracefully, whatever your situation, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, the Turvo Agency offers more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Stop in or give us a call at 482-0080.
All your questions are ready to go here for Coach Sean on the Joe Sean Hour. First question of the day for Coach. Coach, it says here, I know you do not like dwelling on records, but how important is this Alaska trip to our chances of a postseason? Of the postseason.
First of all, I'm always dwelling on records. I'm always dwelling on analytics. I'm always dwelling on statistics. I'm always dwelling probabilities. So that's always on my mind. I'm also realistic enough to know that it's a day-to-day thing, and you don't The first thing you have to do is put one game together, and then you have to put two games together, and then you might go one backwards, and this is how it works. And then you might put three games together, and then all of a sudden you're at four out of five if you're doing the right way. So, every single game in college hockey is vitally important. Every game. You don't want to miss and be unprepared for any game that you're playing. I can assure you that we are preparing as hard, as diligently, as we ever have at any time. So, our preparation is good. I talked to one of our players this morning, one of our seniors, a great kid, and he said, "Coach, everybody knows what's going on. We know what's going on in the game. They're important. Every game's important. But you're not going to win the fourth game on next Friday night. You're not going to win four in a row next Friday night. You're going to win, you're going to perform your best to start the game. You're going to get ready for the second period, perform your best again, and then you're going to put it together, and you're going to build confidence as you go, if you're doing things the right way. What we're looking at right now is having a really good game last Friday, going into a setback on Saturday, going into a really good game hopefully next Friday, which gives us 2 out of 3, which hopefully can turn into 3 out of 4, and that's how we'll build it.
By the way, we do have the same record this point, I believe, as we do last season, that this listener is also making a note of that. All right, next question for Coach. Coach, are the players taking personal responsibility for their play?
That's a great question. I do think that there is a malignancy in some players with regards to personal success over team success. I do believe that, where it impacts their game. I think it's there with some players where there'd be more of a income. I did too, which is mindset you have. Do I think that players aren't purposely, want to fail? No. I think our work we lack this group, of players over time is courage. To compete. I was talking to my wife. I said, I'm almost afraid with this group to hard hockey. And I've been like that. That's with certain individuals to say, you piece in. This is going to be one of those fun games where you can. I'm almost afraid to say it because guys will get white as a ghost, and some guys that you absolutely feel that why did you tell me? And this is hockey. You know what I mean? And I told the guys after Saturday's game, fellas, if you don't like a good battle, then you need to be playing golf. You need to be playing something where it's not on, you can't pass the buck on anybody else. It's all about you. You need to take up bowling. You know what I mean? Where it's you, and I don't mean team bowling. I mean individual bowling where you can't blame the other guy for not getting a spare at a certain time. I'm talking about get into something that is absolutely, unequivocally, it can't fall anywhere but on you. And then maybe when you get to the point where you perform to your, the highest level you can perform at, then get into a team sport so that now you have your personal accountability in order. So do they take accountability? I think guys don't take accountability on getting better, but I don't think it's malicious. I think it's internal character based in some ways where they've learned how to float through it, and they're afraid of being in the position of, first of all, of that combat, of that compete, and then maybe personally afraid of
from Saturday night to have an effect on who goes to Alaska.
The results of every day have an effect, plays in the lineup, I'm sure that we'll get some talks about our goaltending situation. I play the people who I've always been like that, and I think that's the strongest motto that we can have is that we want to play the guys who give us the best chance of winning. What we have to do is realize that and take into account over time now, and that's the biggest decisions that we have to make, is that do we gain more in the long run by putting in someone who maybe has less talent, physical talent, but will give you more predictability in the way that that person plays? We have players that can make a play. We have players that have good ability, but they don't. They can go two games in a row on the weekend without a scoring chance. So, and with no compete. So what do they, you know, in the long run, are you better off with someone who's going to compete really hard and not, and create no scoring opportunities, but give you courage on your bench and give you something to go with? So that's the dilemma we have right now is really, it's not character, but it's competitiveness over other things. So yeah, last weekend's games will certainly impact where we go forward, and as will today's practice.
Marcus Russell got in the game on Saturday night because Stamen was out. Can you talk really quickly, Coach, about your thoughts on Marcus's play back in the lineup?
Marcus did fine in the game. He did fine. I thought he played hard. He was involved in a scoring chance. He did take a couple of soft penalties. So he was okay in the game.
Next question. The team has the potential to go to the GLI 11-5-2 in the WCHA. Failing to do that or come within a hair's breadth of that would make a lot of people feel that there is something very deep is wrong. What are your thoughts?
I think that we're facing the same dilemmas that we faced in the past that people didn't realize. And for the reasons that I just said, I think that we created an environment here where we really focused on the players who could give us success in the game. And depth has been an issue with us. And we've been working and prodding and doing everything we could to get players to play to the potential that they were at. But I've said a lot of times with when we were here the last couple of years, you lose a lot of games on potential. And we really have to be, totally evaluating your potential on players. And what I think is players that come out of the BC League as a rule, those guys need to be 80, 85 point guys like Gavin Gould was to equate to being a skill guy at our level. If you're a 50, 55 point guy, then you're probably a grinder at our level, to some degree that has some ability to make a play. So what you really got to be looking at with those guys is their ability to grind. North American League is about 60 points, 55 to 60. USHL about 40 points you can get by and be able to make a play at our level. And I think that's what we have to focus on and make sure that we're recruiting guys maybe a little bit older that more fit that model than guys that you're recruiting on potential that maybe or may not pan out.
All right, only got a couple more minutes here, Coach. Here's the next question. Now, why did you go with Munson on Friday after the way Carroll played last weekend?
Because Munson practiced really well. And you know what? He was really good on Saturday night. You know, he gave one goal on a Friday night. He was good on a goal and a deflection. I could have, and then I rewarded him for that effort on Saturday, just as I did with Devin the week before. So, there's good competition in the goal. Robbie Badoon, I still want to get in there as well. That kid can win hockey games. He has the ability to, I saw him in juniors win a 1-0 shootout game that went about 9 shooters deep. And in that game, there's a 0-0 game in that game, and he was absolutely unbelievable. He has the ability to steal hockey games. So, I really like Robbie Badoon as well, and we'll look for an opportunity to get him in the net as well. So it's not a 2-horse race right now by any means. We want the best guys playing and the guys that give us the best chance of winning.
Counting the Northern Michigan game, Tech will have 5 consecutive games on Olympic ice. How can you use that extra space to your advantage, and does it change your power player penalty kill?
You know what? Right now, I don't want to use that. I want to get that rink as small as I can possibly get it and force our guys to compete. The last thing I'm going to do is tell our hockey players to get into soft ice and utilize that soft ice, because that goes exactly the opposite way of the way that we need to play to be successful. We need to work ourselves into hard ice and get good at being in that area and get comfortable at being in that area and want to be in that area. We have to want challenges. We have to yearn for daily challenges. We have to yearn for competition. We have to yearn for battle situations. We have to embrace them, love them, go after them. Nothing in life is easy that's worth it. If you want entitlements, athletics is the wrong place for entitlements. It's the wrong place. Athletics is where you find out it's competition. Athletics is competition. And that's why people hire athletes as in sales positions and things. They're highly competitive. They want to come out on top. They want to do well. I don't want to do anything that's going to make us any softer, because if people don't get that, like if they don't watch it and see what's going on and see that softness is what's costing us the ability to get better, which will equate to the ability to have a stronger program. I want to recruit guys that just have a relentless compete. I want to recruit guys that you have to pull back from competing. I want to go play Michigan and those teams and have them not want to get on the ice with us because they say that is the most resilient group of men that I've ever played against. Then we'll work on them on every other aspect of what we're doing and go from there.
Really quick, Coach, travel schedule for you guys to get up to Alaska.
Our travel schedule, we're going to leave Wednesday morning, bright and early, and then we're going to I believe we have a brief layover in Chicago, a couple-hour layover in Chicago, and then we go up. So we'll skate up there briefly on Wednesday when we get up there, and then we'll get ready for Friday.
All right, we can't wait, Coach. Late-night broadcast, 10:30 pregames can be heard right here on Mix 93 this weekend. No Joe Schott Hour next Monday because the team and yours truly will be up there. So we'll resume in a couple weeks. But looking forward to it. Again, 10:30 pregames, both Friday and Saturday night from Sullivan Arena in Anchorage, Alaska. You can hear all the games action right here on Mix 93 WKMJ. That is the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93.